Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're diving into Loki Season 2, Episode 2, Breaking Brad. And boy, oh boy, is it just as confusing but also exciting as the first episode. We get all kinds of cool nods to stuff. We get lots of Loki being Loki, which is fun. And we get a potential idea for who may be the villain in this season, if there is a villain besides from time. But we can talk about that. So we'll start off with first thoughts.
So I watched this episode twice. I just finished watching it, and there's so much that happens in this. But after the second watch, there are a couple of moments that really stuck with me. And I think I'm really going to enjoy this series if they keep with the tone of what they're going for, especially with Mobius and this character. Because there's a moment where he has a conversation with Brad in McDonald's. And I believe it was in McDonald's. There's like that. Maybe it was earlier. But there's one particular line that he says, and it just really hit home with me because it's some stuff, things that I think about a lot. And I have a prediction. I have what I think, some connection, and we'll talk about that more at the end. But yeah, I really like this episode.
Same. I thought that it was a good one. At the end of it, I had to turn to Mason and I was like, I'm so frustrated that they didn't release all these at the same time because I'm dying to watch the next episode right now. But yeah, we got some interesting ideas that were floated in this episode, some really interesting character interactions that I'm excited for us to talk about. And I got one more piece of evidence for one of my theories about Mobius, which we will get to in a moment.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited that this series is so exciting. I was nervous that it would be kind of boring and it would just be like them walking around talking about how to stop the time stuff from happening. So it's exciting that there's like a lot going on. I was a little bummed that we're not like OB is not going with them. I was really hoping he would be more like in your face character throughout the season, as opposed to just being kind of like every now and then we see like, oh, what's he doing? Oh, okay, he's working on something. But I mean, I get that that could also be, I think we talked about it last time, that like, what if OB is Kang? Hopefully not, but you know, maybe he's back there building stuff or messing with stuff. I don't know. Like, how does he know how to do all this stuff? With the time,
he's trying to salvage the time thingy we saw.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, that's a good point, because after this episode, it definitely changed my perspective of Kang's potential role as we move forward.
So the bulk of this episode is Loki and Mobius trying to get Hunter X5, Brad, and basically figure out like what he knows, right? Like that's sort of the plot of this episode. So they have to go into a different timeline that he is currently, I guess, like living his actual life. If he, you know, wasn't his taken and turned life. Into, yeah, turned into a hunter. And we find out that he's an actor. The year 1977. Fun note. Star Wars came out in 1977. So fun little, I don't know enough about Brad in the comics. I did a little research, but I don't know if that's a 77 thing or if this is just a, because it's Disney. They're like, yeah, we also have Star Wars.
Yeah, I think that's just the Disney thing.
But in this sequence, when they're finding Brad, who's the actor, and he is there to, I guess, the opening night of his new movie, Zaniac, we see a couple other little hidden Marvel thingies. We see a poster from The Eternals, which is Kingo. And he's, that's like his whole thing, is that he's like this actor forever, basically. So we see a poster for one of his movies, so that's fun. I guess they're, you know, nodding to that movie, even though I feel like nothing else is nodding to that movie.
I think this feels like a kind of Rogers the musical moment. Like I feel like we need to get something, like let's bring the Eternals in some way. Like let's get like like this could have been a fun post-credit scene or something, you know.
Which, don't get me started.
Yeah.
we'll get there. The second thing that we get is a super obscure reference that I did not know about, so I can't take credit for this, but I looked it up. There was also a poster with an obscure Marvel hero called the Phone Ranger. So if you're a huge Marvel fan and you know anything about the Phone Ranger, it's a guy named Bell. He was a telephone repairman who discovered alien tech, giving him access to all communication devices across the world. So there is a Phone Ranger movie poster on the wall that they walk past. So yay, Marvel weird characters. I wish that they would just bring him in, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's just have that weird movie. Phone Ranger. Right. Like, don't just give me a nod. I want all these weird, never heard of before Marvel characters.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this whole like sequence. I think it's really fun because it's like nighttime, 1977. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know where they're supposed to be, LA, New York City, some big city. Mm-hmm. But it looks cool. Like, the set's really cool. You can see where, like, maybe they didn't put a whole, I mean, they put a lot of money into this, but it does seem very like boxed off for it being them in this like city. You don't really see much of the city. You just see these like one little narrow street or this one little narrow back alley. But I don't think that like takes away from it. I think it's just like a cool, almost like film noir vibe going on, just not black and white.
Man. This whole scene could have been, yeah, what if it wasn't black and white?
It would have been cool. They would have had to jump further than 77. But
yeah.
But no, I agree. I think it would have looked cool. It had that whole vibe, you know, they're all walking around in their black suit and tie. And
I mean, this whole moment for me, like I will champion Tom to be Bond. Like, yeah. There's certain moments I was like, yeah, he could pull off a James Bond.
Oh, I think he could. I just don't want him to.
Yeah.
Unless they give James Bond superpowers and like teleport around.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. First of all, like, in my opinion, he already did it because he did the Night Manager. And if y'all haven't watched The Night Manager yet, it's basically James Bond. Mm-hmm. but like more down to earth, because there's no like jumping out of airplanes or stuff like that. But one thing that's very exciting in this scene is that we get to see Loki actually using a lot of magic, which is something that all Loki fans want to see more of, is him actually getting to use his conjuring skills, like King Loki was saying at the end of last season, that that's Loki's greatest strength. And he's using it against Brad, and that's great because Brad was well cast in that he has a very punchable face. Everything about Brad is very irritating. And so it's good to watch him get magicked into submission.
So I had to look up Brad because Zaniac just immediately seemed like, this seems like it's an Easter egg of a character I've never heard of. Sure enough, in the comics, Brad Wolf, he's a movie star who's transformed by radiation from the Manhattan Project. He gets super strength and the ability to create knives out of pure energy. He then lives out his role as Zaniac and fights Thor. So there is a possibility that that could happen in this series, and that we could get like Zaniac with powers fighting against Loki, not Thor, but, you know, same family.
Yeah. Which, get these little subtle details, even with the music in this episode, it tends to lean like we could be getting a much darker season, because we have these little moments where like they're sitting down eating the key lime pie, or they're sitting at McDonald's drinking milkshakes, and it kind of livens it up. But then it's just like, then like after these moments, it does tend to get a little bit on the darker side of things.
I will say that it does seem a lot like Mobius is the comic relief.
Right.
And Loki is the one. I mean, you know, up until a certain point, I feel like Loki is the more serious character. Basically, they catch Brad, they bring him back, they throw him in a cell, and then Loki interrogates him by pretending like he doesn't know how this machine works that will put you in a box and then crush the box. And it, the whole time you're kind of like, oh my gosh, like what is, oh, they're just going to kill Brad. Okay. Like this is crazy. Yeah. But then it's like, ha, joke's on you. Loki knew how to use the box the whole time. This was Mobius's plan. And then Mobius says like a funny joke and then they move on. But it's like, oh, you guys are, you know, like I said, Loki is getting to be Loki, where like, I don't know that Loki is like an outright villain all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't, he's not a hero, right? He's somewhere in the middle, just kind of like whatever he wants to do, he does.
Yeah, we see that earlier. They try interrogating Brad earlier with Mobius and Loki. And Brad tells Loki to his face that he needs to stop trying to be a hero, that he is a villain, that he's good at it. And Loki basically does a pretty good job of taking all that in stride. Like he admits that he's done really bad things. But whenever Brad starts picking at Mobius, Mobius loses his head and goes and tries to like attack Brad, which is not expected because Mobius is usually the more cool-headed kind of guy. And then in that key lime pie scene, Mobius at first is trying to play the office being a tactical thing. But then he's like, no, I actually just got upset.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I wonder if we're going to get more of Mobius's past, maybe. Mm-hmm. And is it going to be something like ridiculous, like he was a jet ski salesman or something, and that's why he has this like jet ski obsession?
Is that ridiculous? Yeah. It was really sweet in that scene because like Loki is like, don't you want to know? What if you could have like this great life out there? And clearly Mobius is thinking that he's where he needs to be right now, that things going on with the TVA make it to where he shouldn't go and check in with himself. Mason thinks that he already has. And so he knows what the other life is and is still not choosing to go and live it because of all the other things he's got going on. But yeah, my theory is that Mobius is from Florida. Which is supported only by three things at this point. The key lime pie was this episode. I was like, look, it's a key lime pie. Why else would he have that? Also, Owen Wilson is from Texas, which means he speaks with a very, very slight Southern twang, which you can also get in Florida. And the jet ski thing, I'm like, I feel like it's a Florida thing. I think that he's a Florida man. In this very same scene, Loki talks about whenever he was so mad at his dad and brother that he held Manhattan hostage. And he's like, and that was bad. And, you know, I admit that that wasn't good. It does not take into account that Loki was also being influenced by the Mind Stone. They do not talk about that. They do not talk about Thanos's influence. Mm-hmm. Probably not appropriate for the moment. Like, that would just feel like Loki making excuses if he pointed all that. Like, well, you know, it wasn't all me being bad. But yeah, just that kind of throwback to where he's kind of looking at the things he's done or looking back at the things that he's done and trying to figure out a way to move forward from them is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm, for me, I'm 100% on board with the Mobius from Florida. Definitely. And
could be.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
This is the part which was the big moment for me. It's like when they're having this conversation, because Loki keeps questioning Mobius, like, are you not curious? Do you want to go see like what your life is in a timeline? Like, you know, he questions like, you know, what if your life is just bad? But then he flips and he's like, but what if my life is good? Do I want that kind of just constantly on my mind? So that does question, like, has he actually gone? Does he know? Or does he have a glimpse? Which I think is really fascinating.
I'm pretty confident that Mobius not only has a full life, I bet he's married, I bet he's got kids, but he was a big family kind of guy. And so that's the kind of thing that he would be, like, possibly returning to.
Right. So I do wonder if Jack, the McDonald's manager, is Mobius.
Oh, that would be crazy.
I think there's potentially some clues there, and I'm wondering how much we'll get to actually see McDonald's, you know, if it's just going to be like the first two episodes and we're kind of done with that, or if that's going to be a recurring thing. I feel like it's a recurring thing. And Jack seems to be the one character that we've gotten some kind of like time with. Like, I feel like that's got to be something.
Yeah, I could see them doing something like that. I definitely agree that Mobius knows what his other life is. I'm thinking that maybe he did something in his other life, or...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Has done something with the TVA that he's like, I can't go back to that other life because I know I've done this thing and I have to like make it right. And so he's like paying some penance or something for something he did either in a past life or this life.
And maybe it is one of those things where he has a family and he has to do this to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. Yeah. Yeah, he could be from the prime timeline and want to keep his family safe. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like we're going to get a lot of deeper stories with these characters, even though the season's kind of short.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even with Loki, you know, we see Loki kind of going through, you know, coming to terms with the fact that he's done a bunch of terrible things, but sort of trying to work through them. Mobius seems like he has a past that we're going to learn about. Sylvie seems like we might figure out something about her, because now she's just trying to live this like normal life, even though that's not really where she comes from. I don't know. It's interesting. We're, you know, there's a lot of deep stories going on here, so it's exciting. And hopefully we'll get to see more. We did learn that when Loki and Mobius finally catch up with Sylvie, we learn that Sylvie has killed 400 Minutemen. That's not a small number. And I feel like, were they all sent after her and she killed them? Or was it before she was involved with it? I don't know. There's a lot going on there. But maybe we'll learn a little bit more about that. Maybe not. While there, they kind of find out that, oh, it's sort of a trap. And that's, I don't remember her name, but the other, like, head of the TVA person is trying to prune all the timelines. And that was kind of crazy. You don't really think about it because you're not seeing any repercussions, but you know, they say it a couple times, like, she's killing billions of people. And I guess you just have to think that, like, every timeline that gets erased, I guess once the timeline started, all those people are alive then. So if you erase a timeline, you're sort of killing them.
Right.
I don't know. That whole part is like, it went above my head and then beside my head and then underneath my head. And I was like, I don't know what's going on.
It's bringing up a question of, like, who is actually in charge? Like, who is making these final decisions? Because you've got that going on. And then you've got other people realizing that, oh, Miss Minutes is working with, is it Ravenclaw, right?
Ravonna.
Like, they've been working together, and Miss Minutes is like this AI that's gone rogue and offline. So, like, what happened there? And then I think it's still fascinating that, like, you've got OB that's kind of like part of building all of this stuff, that's like this mega celebrity to some of these people, and they've never met him. So who's in charge with all this?
Right. And it's, you know, OB is, like, apparently the only one that knows how all of this stuff works. You would think that there would be, like, one other person, which I guess leads back to the, like, could OB be Kang? Maybe if he built all this, he knows how it all works. He's the only one. I don't know. But it is wild to think that this machine that is creating the timeline, there's only one person that actually knows how it works and how to fix it, and everyone else just sort of works there. So I don't know. I hope that we learn a little bit more about the TVA and, like, get to figure out more of the dynamic of who's in charge. Because, you know, first season it made it seem like one person was in charge. This season it makes it seem like there's a, like, a board of directors that are all in charge, but they kind of make decisions not based on what the other ones want to do, just whatever they want to do. So they're able to stop the pruning. I will say, every time we see that little TV screen that shows all the branching timelines, it never seems to get more, but they talk about there being more. And then this time when they pruned it, they were like, oh, they got a lot of them, but not all of them. But every time it showed the screen, it kind of looked like they got all of them. And I was like, well, I don't really know what other timelines are out there still. It kind of looked like they got all of them from the screen that we see every time they talk about.
It looked like some of them were kind of like, it wasn't completely done. It's like broken timelines.
Right. Which, like, then how does that work? Like, Is there a moment where time ends and then another moment where time begins, but all those people are from where time ended before? It's very confusing.
And what would have happened to Sylvie if she tried to go back to her timeline and there was nothing there? Because she made it back after the thing at the TVA. She was able to go back to her timeline in Oklahoma. But, like, what happens if you try to go to a timeline that doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah, that's,
you just get stuck in the void, a void. I mean, that's a big thing to risk whenever she just does not want to help the TVA at all. She did for just a minute, but that's what she has a big confrontation with Loki about, how she doesn't want to do that and she wants to stay there and she's happy. And he tries to convince her that this place is going to be destroyed too, because this is outside of the sacred timeline. Right. And she's just kind of like, no, everything's going to be fine because they killed Kang and now everything can always happen. Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Well, we do see Sylvie back in her timeline, and this is where I am kind of like, oh, could Sylvie be the villain in this series? You know, one of the last things we see is that she has Kang's little talisman clicky device thing. So I saw online a bunch of people are thinking like, oh, she's going to, you know, she was just holding on to that. And eventually she'll come to help the TVA when they need it, because she has this ability to be able to be there with the time device or whatever. But in my mind, I was like, what if she thinks I could do this better? And she becomes the villain by trying to like either take over the TVA or start her own sort of time control. I mean, we don't really know what the talisman can do, right? Like, it's just a time device. So can it just send her to different places?
I think it, well, first of all, Renslayer. I don't know why I went the other, like, Harry Potter route. Renslayer is what I was thinking. Which we see Renslayer. Like, I just want to know more about the Renslayer Miss Minutes thing. But I'm pretty sure the talisman would allow Sylvie to go in between any timeline, like any of them, in any, I guess, dimension. But I do like the Elisa's question of like, what would happen if she goes somewhere that doesn't exist anymore? Like, what would that do? But I'm leaning like, I feel like he who remains had to have known Sylvie would take it. Like, this has to be part of a big plan that Kang's really in control of. So I'm expecting that she may go after, because essentially she's like, if I see any variant of Kang, I'll just kill that person. Well, I feel like she's going to go up against a version that she just can't, and they'll reclaim the talisman and go take over.
Yeah.
But if Kang has ever been a big part of the TVA and how it's controlled with all these timelines, like, does that put any concern on him if it's breaking? Like, would he want to get back and fix it? Because does that disrupt his agenda? That's what
I mean, at this point, we don't really know what his agenda is anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
is it just conquering everything or what?
I mean, hopefully we get some sort of answers with these, you know. But, you know, I also, there's like a lot that they've sort of opened the door to with all of these characters' stories individually. So I wonder if we're going to get more focus on that for now, and then maybe overall answers later on. I don't know.
Do y'all think that Ravonna's gone to join Kang?
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, that's what she does in the comics, is that she's like there with Kang and she's on his side. So that's kind of what I think she's doing, because I think she's looking for him. She's going to find him and then realize that it was the only way that she can actually run the TVA as intended, is if she's with Kang.
I can see that.
There's a lot going on. Especially with, you know, we still know Kang Dynasty and all that stuff. So who knows what the future holds, but hopefully we'll get some more answers next week on episode 3. Fingers crossed.
And then this episode, it's like, it just feels like you keep peeling back the layers. It brings up a lot of other questions, right? Because what if anyone from like the Avengers or something realized this was going on? Like, what kind of thought does that put in your head of like, what timeline am I in? And oh, like, they just broke this thing that controls it, and then we're all doomed. And like, what do I do? Like,
I don't know. It's the perfect place for them to insert some sort of Fantastic Four thing, but I know that they won't. But
That would be wild. Like, oh man.
Well, is there anything else that we missed for this episode?
Well, we did not get another post-credit scene.
Yeah, we didn't.
I did like pay attention through the credits though to see if there's any changes. I didn't really see any changes, like anything new in the in credits.
Mm-hmm. Not all the same. And then it went straight to black. And I was like, yep. Why? Why do you tease us? Why do you give us a post-credit scene in the first episode and nothing the rest of this? Yeah, so annoying. Well, do we remember what our question was last week?
It was about our historical era, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Where would we want to live? Well, I can go first because I know exactly where I'd want to go. I'd want to live in feudal Japan only because I'd want to be or see, I'd probably die, but you know, I want to see some samurai action.
Oh man, that's a good answer. I gotta think more on this. I didn't put in much thought into it. This.
Well, how about you, Elisa?
Well, I mean, there are certainly tempting eras. Would I like to go back and see what it was like to go see like Shakespeare on like in the Globe Theater? Yeah. Would I like to go back to like the Regency and all of the, you know, formal courtship and all that cuteness of the Jane Austen times? Yeah, that'd be neat. But I think if I was going to live somewhere, it would need to be sometime in the era of antibiotics. And so I think we're like the sweet spot would be if I could be like a teenager in the 50s and then like a lady in the 60s and then be really old in like the 80s and 90s and complain about skateboard punks and stuff like that. I think I'd be really, really into that, the Forrest Gump era, we can call it.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. That's good. That's good.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I'd be kind of, I don't know the right, what era this would be in, but it's kind of like more of like the, I don't even know if we even had, I don't know history that well. Like, if there's anything to deal with like knights and that kind of realm of things of just being able to roam around and
that, okay, like the medieval little bit,
yeah,
before that, before it got all dark and plaguey. Yeah.
Before, yeah, basically like before the plague. I think that would be an interesting timeline to go back to.
I got bad news, y'all. There were lots of plagues.
Yeah.
And I bet it all stunk.
Yeah, I got to brush up on, especially with like, I'm actually very excited for the Napoleon movie coming out. I do need to get back to some history and brush up on some stuff because I remember learning about Napoleon in school, but I have forgotten all of it.
I don't think I ever learned.
Well, really quick, I have to dip, so we can either wrap this up or I can let you guys wrap it up. What do you guys want to do?
I think we're ready to wrap, so
okay. Question for next week, how about we do any time from the first McDonald's ever until now, what is your order? You can have anything you want from McDonald's. What are you ordering from McDonald's?
I already have my answer. This is so easy.
So let us know on social media. Be sure to listen next week so you can hear our answer and you can hear us break down episode 3 of season 2 of the Marvel Disney Plus series Loki, which so far I think has been my favorite of the newer series. So, and we're only 2 episodes in. But that does it for us this week. Thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.